Heavenly Father, on this special day, we give you thanks for all of your blessings towards us. We now ask you to receive from us a portion of that which we return to you for your kingdom work. Bless it, we pray, and multiply it for your kingdom work in Newmarket and around the world. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us pray. Let us pray. Lord, we do come before you today to give thanks. And while we should not just have one day of the year for thanksgiving, Lord, every day for us should be a day of thanksgiving. So, Lord, Father, we ask you to hear our prayers this morning. Lord, we are in mourning as a congregation for the Pengelly family over the loss of Ruth's son, David. And Lord, so we pray for peace and comfort on the family, for Ruth in particular, losing a son. And Lord, we just pray that your Spirit will be present now over the next few days and into the weeks ahead to bring comfort and peace to their hearts. Lord, we also mourn with George and Janice Meisner today for the passing of George's brother Randy this past week. And again, Lord, we ask for your peace and your comfort on George and the rest of his family. And Lord, we pray for Don McWilliam, who's in Southlake after suffering a minor stroke. Lord, we pray for peace in their family, and we pray for a healing for Don and for a quick return to home to his wife and family. Lord, we pray for our dear sister Barb Green, suffering from cancer. Lord, in particular today, Lord, we ask for your comfort and your presence with her as she's fearful of the MRI that she has to undergo. And Lord, so we ask for your Spirit of peace to descend on her, to abide with her, and let her know that you are just with her through this ordeal. And Lord, we continue to pray for healing for her. Lord, we pray for a miracle. And we come before you with hearts that are lifted up to you for Barb. Father God, we pray for peace in our world. Lord, we pray that the peace in the world will begin with us, that we will have peaceful hearts towards one another, that our families will be filled, particularly this weekend, with joy and peace as families gather. Lord, we pray that we will have thankful hearts, not just this day and this weekend, but thankful hearts throughout the year. For we are your children, and for that alone we need to give thanks. Father God, hear our prayers this morning, for we pray them in Jesus' name. Amen. I came across an article this week on, it may seem strange, but on Olympic athletes. And some psychologists have done studies on the happiness of Olympic medal winners. And the results were quite surprising. And we know that for an Olympic athlete, they give up everything. It's total focus. They give up their social life so they can be in bed early, and they get up early to practice and do their athletic pursuits. They limit their diets so that their bodies are in the best possible fitness. And they do this for one thing. The one thing is the medal. They're going for the gold, and so everything is focused on that. So these psychologists conducted a study, and they surveyed the happiness and the contentment level of gold, silver, and bronze medal winners. And it's no surprise, of course, that the gold medal winners are the happiest. They won gold. They got the top. That's it. They were the happiest, of course. But the next result may surprise you. It surprised me. You may think that the silver medalists would be the next happiest and the bronze medal winners would be third. But it's not. The bronze medal winners were happier than the silver medal winners. And here's why. The silver medal winner says, "Oh, I could have made gold. 2 points of a second, you know, one extra yard, one extra pound of weight, whatever it was, whatever the pursuit is, I could have made the gold." And they're disappointed. The bronze medal winner says, "I made it to the podium. I could have been fourth and my name would never have been mentioned, but I made it to the podium. I'm so pleased that I got on the podium and got a medal." And the psychologists describe this thinking as "I could have" or "I should have" state of mind. They call it the silver medal syndrome. Got to have a name, right? So it's interesting, isn't it? You'd think gold, silver, bronze, but it's not that way. One group is happy because they made it, and the other group is not happy because they didn't make it what they wanted. Sadly, though, we suffer from this silver medal syndrome. Although we have the highest standard of living in recorded history, and certainly we do pretty good here in Canada, and we do very, very well in southern Ontario. I mean, there isn't really a better place on the planet for living, really, in my humble immigrant opinion. Okay? We have the best standard of living. We have a stable society. We have, you know, within certain boundaries, reasonably good and government. Okay? But we never seem to have quite enough, do we? We always want a little bit more. And we never stop and say, "You know, Lord, I'm thankful for what I do have," as opposed to being disappointed for what we perceive is our lack. So what is it then that we should be most thankful for on this Thanksgiving Day? We really need to think about what we're giving thanks for. In our Psalm 100, which we heard today, it says, "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God, and it is he who made us, and we are his, and we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving." Enter his gates means enter his presence. Come into God's presence with thanksgiving. Enter his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. Why? Because we have lots of stuff? Because we got lots of good material possessions? No, the psalmist doesn't leave that empty for us. He fills in that blank. He says, "For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations." The psalmist has got it. We give thanks to the Lord, for he is good and he is gracious and his love never fails and it endures through generation to generation to generation to those who call on his name. And so we enter his presence knowing that we are his children, his creature, the sheep of his pasture, and that his faithfulness towards us and his love towards us will never, ever fail. We are never without the love of God. We are never without his presence if we choose it. Can we give thanks for that? Leave the rest of the stuff behind and just give thanks for God, for his love endures forever. When was the last psalmist here in Psalm 100 says, "Shout for joy"? When was the last time you shouted for joy? Hockey game? Football game? See a few smiles there. When did you last let out a shout for joy just because God loves me? Just because God loves you. When did we last let out that shout of joy? When was the last time you were really overwhelmed with the joy and the sense and peace and well-being just because God has offered you the free gift of eternal life in Jesus Christ? And at that moment when you accepted, your life was filled, your heart was filled with joy. When do we stop? When do we pause and abide in this great joy of salvation and give thanks to God for that? And realize that all else fades into near insignificance compared with the majesty of his love towards us. Paul talks about the unsearchable riches of Christ. In Ephesians, he's talking to the church in Ephesus. Although I am less than the least of all God's people, this grace was given to me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Do we abide in that? The richness that's in our lives merely because Christ is in our hearts. Can we just abide in that? Forget about the stuff and abide in that reality. We're living in an age where we have so much compared to others in the world. And we do. We really do. And sometimes we get so distracted with comparison living. We see what we don't have as opposed to seeing what we do have. And why can't we be grateful and content, as Paul says, content with little or content with much? Why can't we just give thanks for what we have and where we are? Now, it's quite possible that when families gather and give thanks around the table this weekend, some will list their possessions as what they're grateful for. And I think that's important that if we have been blessed with material wealth and material possessions, that we acknowledge the hand that gave it to us. And it should be recognized as a blessing. So long as we own the possessions and it's not the possessions that own us. That we're so attached to our possessions that we're hanging on. Be very careful with that. By all means, give thanks for all that you have and all that you've accomplished, but beware, because God knows that this can be a distraction to us people, to humans. We need to be careful that we don't get this silver medal syndrome. God knows that we're prone to focus on stuff. God knows our possessions and our abundance can be a distraction to us. Moses, when he was speaking to the people of Israel, he gave them this cautionary message, cautionary tale, if you like, in Deuteronomy 8. And he says, when you have eaten, interesting for this weekend, when you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Well, Canadians, this weekend, when you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. He goes on, be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commandments, his laws and his decrees that I'm giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large, I don't think many of us have got herds and flocks, but that's a symbol for wealth and possessions. When your herds and flocks grow large and your silver and gold increase, and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud. And you will forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt and out of the land of slavery. For us, the land of Egypt is the bondage to sin that we had and the bondage to ignorance that we had before we accepted Christ as Lord. Here's the danger with our wealth and affluence in our culture today, is that we forget that the Lord that rescued us from our lives of sin. How can we who have so much compared to the vast majority of the world, how can we not be ever thankful and grateful to God for his blessings towards us? And yet it's not the abundance of these possessions that should bring us the greatest praise and the greatest thanks to God. What we should dwell on, what we should abide on, is that our eternal security is set. No matter what goes on in this life, no matter what tragedy comes upon us, our eternal destiny is secure. And that alone should cause each one of us to shout for joy. A couple of years ago, we were down in the Dominican Republic on a missions trip with a group of churches from this area. And what struck me, and it's still an enduring memory, was the sense of freedom they had. They had nothing, by the way. Like, they have no, Amy was there a few weeks ago. They have nothing. Their possessions, we wouldn't put in our house. Their possessions, we would take to the dump. And yet there was a freedom. Mothers and fathers smiled. The children smiled. They weren't afraid for their children. The children would come and take our hands, and we'd walk all the way through the village with them, spend hours with them. And there was never a worry from the parents about the care for their children. Can't do that in our culture, can we? They have nothing, and yet there's this joy. There's this at-peaceness that they have in their lives. See, when we spend our energy searching for stuff, searching for happiness, if I buy this, it'll make me happy, all we're going to discover is just how unhappy we are. Because that new thing doesn't make us happy. Just because it's shiny, the shine comes off it after a little while. What's it going to take for us to overflow with thankfulness? It's not going to be material possessions, that's for sure. Or career success, or financial success, or anything like that. That is not going to make us happy. It's not going to fill us with contentment. And we are not going to overflow with thankfulness with that. Again, Paul to the church in Colossae says, "So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you are taught, and overflowing with thankfulness." That's a core teaching. And when you read these two verses, the first thing we recognize is that the verse is meaningless to anyone who can't get past the first statement. Just as you received Jesus Christ as Lord. See, each person on this planet has two choices. You can choose the world or you can choose the kingdom. God has offered each and every person in the world, through the preaching of the gospel, to come apart from this world and enter into his eternal kingdom. And it changes our perspective. If we stay in the world, we want the worldly things, we want worldly success, we want worldly possessions, and we think that's going to make us happy. And it doesn't. But when we enter the kingdom, we enter into the peace that passes all understanding, and we have a deep contentment, and a deep joy, and a deep thankfulness for all that God has done for us. So we who have received Jesus Christ as Lord then are told in this verse to continue to live in him. And that means to be continually aware of his presence, to be seeking his presence day by day, not just here on Sunday, and then forgetting it when we get past the turkey dinner today or tomorrow, but into Monday and into Tuesday and into Wednesday. Be in his presence. Abide in him. Praying continually and being thankful, giving him praise. The verse uses, Paul uses the word, we are rooted in him, planted, if you like a tree, taking root in good soil. A tree grows strong roots, takes hold of the soil that it's in. It's anchored there in the earth so that it can withstand the winds and the gales that come against it. So too we should be rooted in Christ, putting our roots deeper and deeper and deeper into Christ so we can withstand the storms of life. We are told to grow up in him. And as we grow in Christ and become more mature Christians, we bear fruit that others can see. We bear fruit in our own lives. We bear fruit in the lives of our family and in the lives of our community. And we draw, like a tree draws its nutrients from the soil, we draw our nutrients, our spiritual life, if you like, from Christ, being rooted in him. It is this reality of Christ in our lives that we must be most thankful for and have most grateful hearts. We surely must be the most grateful people in the world, we who are in Christ, because we are at peace. Regardless of what's going on around us, inside we are at peace. Now, if you are thankful, if we take a look at that word thanksgiving, if you are thankful, you're really thankful, trusting in the Lord for all your blessings, being thankful and grateful for all he has done and continues to do in your life, the evidence in this will be that you are a giving and generous person. Your life will be marked by giving thanks and thankful giving. It is a mark of our own thankfulness for all that God has done for us, that we are generous with all we come in contact with. We have much to be grateful for, living where we do. We have peace, we have security, we have a stable society. Yes, we've got our challenges. They're out there on Main Street every day. But we don't have tanks and rocket launchers every street corner. We're not afraid of our houses being not there when we come home after work. We're not afraid of our children's school being, rocket landing on our children's school or on our hospitals. We have an abundance of food. An abundance of food. You go into any food store, it's just the shelves are overflowing with alternatives and assortments. We have the freedom to worship. We heard from Rose a couple of Sundays ago. We're hearing now coming out of Egypt and other places in the world where Christians are not free to worship. They risk their very lives going to church. And we have no fear of that at all. We can come and go as we please with no fear of persecution. But above all of these things, the real heart issue is that we should be filled with joy and thankfulness because God loves us and he has redeemed us by his Son, Jesus Christ. Paul again, writing to the church, the Thessalonians, the church in Thessalonica, be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for it is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Give thanks. Give thanks this weekend. Let the joy of the Lord descend on your hearts and on your spirits this weekend. We should live all of our days by giving thanks, not just one day of the year, but every day. We should give thanks with grateful hearts for all that God has done for us. Let us pray. Let us pray. Father God, it should be cause for repentance that we've only set one day of the year aside to give thanks. Lord, forgive us if that has been us. Lord, stir us each morning as we get out of bed, as we get up, as we open our eyes. The first word on our lips should be, thank you, Lord, for a new day. And Lord, at the end of the day, as we close our eyes, put our head on the pillow, our last word should be, thank you, Lord, for the day just passed. Lord, give us hearts that give thanks. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Whose show it on our faces as we go into our families this weekend and we go into our community in the days ahead. Let's be the people who have joy, the joy of thankfulness on our faces. Go in peace today. Know that God loves you dearly and he wants to be part of your life, each and every day of your life. Go in peace. Amen.